From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or in need of a commentary. I'm Badaun Kosokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com.
The Global System for Mobile Communications Association, GSMA, represents the interests of mobile network operators worldwide. 750 mobile operators globally are full GSMA members, and a further 400 companies in the broader mobile ecosystem are associate members. At the 2023 Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, the GSMA, along with the UK Foreign Commonwealth Development Office and the Swedish International Development Corporation Agency, announced the Innovation Fund for Climate Resilience and Adaptation. Now, in this episode of iAfrican Bites, we're in conversation with the head of mobile development at GSMA, Max Kuvile, on the fund and the focus on how African startups and SMMEs can take advantage of these opportunities.
Southern African Bites.
Max, thank you so much for joining us. It's lovely having you here. It's lovely having your organization and having this chat with your organization. Now, Max, the GSMA represents the interests of mobile network operators worldwide, and you're the head of mobile development. Now, we've seen how in the first quarter, you know, chip demand was quite poor. I just want to, you know, get from your sense, you know, how has this affected the global tech ecosystem? What are your mobile operators reporting to you as the GSMA?
That's a very good question. It's a broad one. Obviously, we work with mobile operator members in roughly every single country. It's 750 mobile operator members. I don't talk to all of them. I also focus most of our work at Mobile for Development is focused on Africa and emerging Asia. What are we saying? What are we seeing? I mean, what we're seeing is that still a great contribution from like the mobile and digital ecosystem to local societies and local economies. I think everybody's been sadly reminded during the pandemic of the importance of being connected. And I mean, sitting in Africa, you know that even better than I do. When you're talking about internet, inserted mobile directly there, when you're talking about access to the internet and getting all the value out of the internet, you're talking about mobile. I mean, people sometimes say Africa is the mobile first continent. I want to say it's the mobile only continent. So mobile operators have obviously great challenges to face. There's still like a percentage of population who is not covered. That's about 17% of the population in Africa. But more importantly, again, numbers for Africa, you have closely 60% of the population who are covered by mobile internet today, but they're not using. Why? Because it's too expensive, because they can't access a mobile phone. It's usually when we're talking expensive, like that first investment into a smartphone or feature phone is a big issue. Because they don't have the skills, because they don't have the right services, because they don't have a proof of ID and they can't buy a SIM in some countries. So these are really the challenges that are top of mind for mobile operators. And I would say on the other side, especially as Safaricom published their results yesterday or this morning, financial results, like mobile money is also like a big priority for mobile operators, in particular in Africa. We're now at 400 million monthly active users around the world. The potential that it brings, not only in like being able to send money around, but also building services on top of that, fintech services, but also like pay-as-you-go services, for instance, is really incredible. So this is what we're very excited about.
Now, Max, GSMA has launched the Innovation Fund for Climate Resilience and Adaptation 2.0. Yep. Now, it's a mouthful. Let's start here. What is climate resilience and adaptation?
That's a very good question. So basically, climate resilience and adaptation is used as opposed to climate mitigation. So mitigation is what you can do to basically reduce the effects of climate change, if I can say. So for instance, switching from a diesel generator to a solar panel is a mitigation move. Resilience and adaptation is two sides, if I can say, two sides of the same coins that are basically in an environment where, unfortunately, the effects of climate change are being more and more faced, is how do you reduce these effects short-term, so when a shock happens, but also long-term, how do you adapt to those? How do you adapt to weather patterns that might be changing or drier seasons when it comes to agriculture, or like more complicated access to water, for instance. That's what we put within climate resilience and adaptation.
Beautiful. Now, Max, why does this fund exist?
Very good question. Unfortunately, it exists because this is still an early stage topic. You hear a lot about green tech, climate tech, and the big investment that are made in this area. A lot are still in mitigation. I think the global number is about 80% of the funding worldwide that goes into climate-related financing goes into mitigation. So adaptation and resilience, generally speaking, tend to get less funding. But more importantly, I would say, if you narrow it down to adaptation and resilience in Africa and more generally in low and middle income countries, which ironically have contributed very little to the problem today, but are going to be facing much harder consequences than in other areas because they're less prepared. Definitely. That's where you have underinvestment. And in particular, I would say we're very interested, obviously, working with the mobile industry, we're interested in solutions that leverage digital and mobile technology to address local issues. But really, like here, the key is local issues. We want to make sure that we are able to support de-risk innovation, as we often say, like support, bring patient capital at a very early stage for digital solutions that will help build the resilience of local communities.
I like that mitigation vis-a-vis adaptation. It's a mouthful, and I think you're right. It's new concepts that a lot of us, ourselves that have been in tech, you know, for a while now, haven't really wrapped our heads around it. And it's quite interesting to see what's going to come out of this. So now, who participated in this fund?
So that's a very good question. This fund is co-funded by FCDO, so the Foreign Commonwealth and Development Office in the UK, and by the Swedes, so CEDA, the Swedish International Development Cooperation Agency. Sorry, they're also a little bit of a mouthful, but basically it's the development agencies of the British and Swedish governments that are very active, generally speaking, in climate activities, but are willing to get to support early stage innovation as close as possible to the market and the populations and the communities that will benefit from them.
You know, we have to ask this question: how much did you raise?
Raising is probably not the right term, because this innovation fund will be providing what we can call grants, what others will call equity-free financing, but they're basically the same thing, meaning we will not take equity. So this is an innovation fund. This is not a fund. There's a nuance here. There's no expectation of repayment. So it's really early stage patient capital. I can't give you a definite numbers because we will only allocate funding if we receive like the right project. So we don't have a definite amount to allocate. But if you want to do the math yourself, we did a first round a year ago where we allocated 12 grants, and they're between 100 and 250,000 pounds, or also between 150 and $300,000 each. And this time around, we're looking at a dozen, if not a few more, of grants about the same size. So if you do the math, the back of the envelope, you'll see what kind of amount we have to allocate.
Okay, let's look under the hood now. What requirements should a startup an early stage business need to have to access this funding?
Very good question. So you define it really well. It is startup or early stage business. So startup or local, small and medium enterprises. So that's the first requirement. If you're not this type of organization, you're not eligible for the fund. We're interested in, we used to say, revenue generating startups or revenue generating SMEs. We need to be clear here. We're not looking at someone who's making millions in revenue, but we're looking at someone who has active users and some kind of revenue, meaning that at least one user has seen enough value in the proposition, in the service to pay for it, kind of like a validation. And here we're setting these criteria just to differentiate from kind of like a man with a plan or someone who's got just a prototype and might be too early for the type of acceleration that we'll be able to provide. And then the other thing, obviously, you need to be fully compliant, like be registered, have paid your taxes, like be compliant with local employee and regulations. So that's very important. We want people who are registered and active in the markets where they wanna be doing their project, not just from a compliance point of view, but also because we want boots on the ground. We want local talent and people working on this. And then you have a longer list of requirements, like making sure you've got adequate financial systems. So obviously, we're not asking for too much because they're early stage ventures. We need people who like can keep their books, for instance. And then it's
100%.
Yeah, as I said, compliance with the laws and regulations of the country you're in, and then like things we're not ready to budge on. And that some startups or some businesses might think, oh, this is too much for me. But actually, when you look at them, it's a lot of common sense and usually a lot of policies that you can easily apply that are very valid. But anything related to human rights law, modern slavery, for instance, or safeguarding policy if you interact with children are all things that we want to see in place. But we can help for those who are shortlisted.
So let's draw some insights from the past. In the previous fund, you know, name one or two startups that you funded that were, you know, solving problems.
So as I said, we've done a round on this topic last year. So we now have a cohort of 12 organizations we're working with. We've also worked, like we're working different funds on agriculture. We've done that in the past on like energy, water and sanitation. So we've got quite a bit of experience here. But I would say, I think two examples in the kind of aquaculture, fish farming side of things, because I think it's quite, some people usually don't understand that climate change also has an impact on those. And it's also about how do you sustainably like fish or run a fishery, for instance, with the angle of like maintaining and strengthening biodiversity as opposed to like just taking stock and then depleting the resources. So there's AquaRec in Kenya, an IoT-enabled fish farming. Where I particularly like this one because we worked in the past 5 or 6 years ago with an aquaculture startup in Indonesia called eFishery, who have now gone on to raise more than $100 million. So we got quite a bit of learnings there that we're very happy to try and pass on to a company like AquaRec. There's also Simusolo in Tanzania. It's fishing on Lake Victoria. And it's about replacing the existing fishing lights, because it's a lot of night fishing, the existing fishing lights by IoT-enabled and clean energy equivalents, basically. So these are two examples in the fishing space, but we're also interesting. That's what we selected in the previous round as well, in improving traceability of existing kind of a bit like manual and informal value chain. Like we're working with in Somaliland, for instance, on the frankincense value chains with I think it's pronounced Dayasa, or with J Palm in Liberia, where it's wild palm oil farming. I think it's important. It's wild palm oil. So it's not palm oil, like industrial palm oil that has a very negative impact on biodiversity, but it's wild palm oil. So it's in Western Africa in particular. So these are two examples. But I would say for this round, we're still interested in this type of like offerings and solutions and so on. But in particular, we'd be keen to see things focused on vulnerable populations, ecosystems in like coastal areas or small islands, also urban settings, because they tend to concentrate a lot of the problems. Anything from regenerative agriculture to like sustainable forestry or reducing food loss and waste or managing air pollution. So there's a lot linked to the impact that climate change and loss of biodiversity are having that we're interested in.
I like the wide umbrella that you guys, you know, are looking at. And I think it's you're covering all aspects of the climate resilience and adaptation field.
We're trying.
You did say in the previous fund you had 12. How many startups, SMMEs are you looking at right now?
I think we could go up to about like 15, 16 if with the right project. But then again, we're not prescriptive in terms of the budget. So we give a range, 150 to 300,000. If I translate in dollars, it's easier usually. So some people might come with smaller projects, like around 150,000. So for instance, if we had a majority of those in the portfolio, we could fund more. While if we go for larger projects, there's room for a little less. But and what we usually do is we take into, so Now we're in the process of receiving concept notes. The deadline is next Tuesday, so 16th of May. So it's coming up. We'll get hundreds of them. We always get hundreds of them, but we're quite good usually at screening very quickly. And what we'll do is within two, 3 weeks, we will shortlist probably up to 30. So that whoever is involved in the application stage, where we work with the different applicants to help them like build their budgets and so on, understand their solution better, you've got a 50% chance of being selected. So we want that application process for anyone who's shortlisted to create value in itself, to help themselves like articulate their impact better, for instance, or like structure their budget better and so on. So even if they're not selected, there is still value. But then also we wouldn't want to take too many organizations to selection and then with a 10% chance of being selected. That wouldn't be fair.
Max, I think, you know, what you guys are doing is amazing. And I just want to know, this fund is specifically for Africa, right? In the African region, globally?
It's actually not. It is global in nature.
Okay.
We do tend to get a lot of really good applications from Africa. Okay. And I think our typical funds we allocate usually 2/3 of the grants to African projects, not because it is a pre-requirement, but because of the quality of what we get. But it is also open to South and Southeast Asia, Pacific Islands, the Caribbean, because I mentioned coastal areas and small islands, and also a handful of countries in Eastern Europe and in Latin America.
Max, in closing, is there anything you want to say in closing? I think as the head of mobile development, you're really on the cusp, and I think what your organization is doing is beautiful.
My main message would be, if you think you might have an idea, if you think that just fits the criteria, you're not entirely sure, like the concept note stage is not very onerous. Try your luck. We're looking at being surprised by the type of solutions that we see, but we're also, and there's something I need to mention, we also have a bias towards female-founded, female-led organization, people who have a strong presence on the ground, who are empowering and building capacity of local staff and involving local stakeholders and local community.
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefomo Happy Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iafrican.com. That is iafrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show, produced by Nzalo Mbangana and content producer and host by Don Kotokwane.